Mark Munch Bishop from ESPN 850 joins us. Mark, how are you doing?
Hey, man, doing great. How are you?
Good. Now, before we get to the Browns, why Munch? How'd you come up with that nickname?
Are you ready for this? I played basketball throughout high school. It was decent. I'd break your ankles with my crossover, but as I always like to say, God played a cruel trick on me. He stopped me growing at about 5'9½", so the high school basketball was the end of my career. But being shorter than most people that play basketball, mind you, I was called Munchkin. And, of course, when you get into radio, it was the rock and roll days. That had to have a wacky DJ name, so it was Munch the Morning Madman when I started doing mornings. And it all derived from a basketball nickname, my friend.
Okay, I like that.
The Morning Madman. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
And these were the days of rock radio. Late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, yes.
That, you know, the boss would actually come in and say, "You haven't been hung over all week. What's wrong?
You're
not out partying?"
Yeah, you. So basically, like, you were, instead of WKRP in Cincinnati, it was like 8:50, the Munch Hour in Cleveland.
Brother, I got to tell you something. KRP was like kindergarten compared to what we did. That's all I'm going to say. I know the statute of limitations has passed, so my kids might be listening.
Tell us more. if there is a grade 12 version of Lonnie Anderson, that'd be fantastic. So awesome.
Oh, you know what? Our secretary, you stop me, guys. You're going to get me in trouble.
Johnny Manziel, he kind of wanted to live the rock star lifestyle like he was on 70s and 80s radio last year in Cleveland, but it seems like he's turned over a new leaf. Do you buy it?
I do not. I'll be blunt with you. Now, I will say this about last year. It was abhorrent. It was criminal. It was also abhorrent and criminal, though, that if you remember, the organization, the owner, the general manager, they kept saying, "Hey, let Johnny be Johnny. Leave him alone. Let him do what he's doing." Okay, well, turns out that I've asked the organization, too, and they've changed questions, is that they basically helped send him to, quote-unquote, rehab. There were times when they said, well, he's not doing anything illegal. Let him go. I saw a picture of him with a roll of dollar bill in the bathroom, and you could take that to be whatever you want. But the bottom line is, no, I don't buy it. I really don't buy it. Hey, I do not believe that his skills can translate from college to the NFL. Number two, I think he's a conniver. Number three, if he was my quarterback, I would cheer vociferously for him, unlike fans last year, which I found horrific, you know, cheering for the team to lose. And I called him the Johnny Rabble so he can come in. Now, I'm going to say this, in spite of what I just told you, he actually had a decent scrimmage last Friday in Ohio Stadium, the home, of course, of the national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. But, guys, he did do it against a second-team defense. Like to see what he does against the big boys. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit, if I'm wrong, I hope the team wins behind him.
Mark, interesting comments on Manziel. Do you think he needs a year to reset, to prove what he's saying, "I'm different, I'm changed, new leaf"? Easy to say, harder to do. Then, if he passes that step, do you think there's a quarterback there? You've expressed some doubts. What about his game does not translate in your mind?
Okay, number one, he did not have a playbook. Number two, he does not play from the pocket. I do not know an NFL quarterback. Russell Wilson found it out quickly. That has not had, I don't know a quarterback who can play if he does not start pocket first and move out. Even most of the plays I saw for Johnny so far in training camp, second the ball is snapped to him, he rolls left, he rolls right, okay? Well, guys have a hard time protecting you if they don't know where you are. That's number one. Number two, he is small. He is miniature. Linemen tell me all the time in close practices, he hits them in the back of the head with passes. He cannot see from the pocket. Number three, his escapability, his elusiveness in college. And again, he was a great college quarterback, guys, just like Archie Griffin, only two-time Heisman Trophy winner. It didn't translate. His escapability and elusiveness is totally wiped out in the pros when I saw 300-pound defensive linemen chase him down last year because of something called angles. They're not running in a straight line race. So there, those are the reasons enough. Number one, is that he's never played with a playbook before. It doesn't seem that he needs to master it. Number two, he can't play in the pocket. Number three, he can't see over linemen to get him the ball. And number four is that he is not the fastest, most slippery guy on the field that he can walk.
Mark Munch, Bishop from ESPN 850, joined us. And, yeah, the speed factor, when you're faster than everybody in college, you can look a lot better. Suddenly you go to the pros and everybody's fast. That takes it away from you a lot. Now, one guy, interesting enough, in Cleveland, I know he's a little banged up right now, came out as a highly touted quarterback, realized couldn't get it done. He's 6'4", 223 pounds, and now Terrell Pryor's lined up at wide receiver. How's he looked?
You know what? Now, he has been nursing a hamstring, and I'm just livid about all these hamstring injuries. So many guys were not in good a shape as they should have been when they came to camp. However, when you look at the receivers so far, mind you, just playing against their own team, and you look at the stride, you look at the size, I mean, you know, it isn't a 6'5 Vince Jackson or Mike Evans, but it's also not 5'7 Taylor Gabriel or 5'8 Andrew Hawkins or 5'9 Travis Benjamin. No, you look at him and you're thinking, you know what? The Browns want him to make this team. The Browns want him to be a difference maker. The Browns want to get him the ball in space, at least try to. The guy's, again, he's never, even with his athletic prowess, he's never caught a pass against the best in the business, the best in the business or the National Football League. So we'll see. But his physical prowess, as you pointed out, is just striking. It's stellar. And when he gets moving, if you're in from college, he had one of those thoroughbred gates. I mean, oh, my gosh. You know, he made a horse at the Preakness, the Belmont, the Kentucky Derby look slow.
Mark, on the other side of the ball, defensively, are the Browns going to find a way to have the kind of consistent pass rush they couldn't seem to put together last year? And if yes, what's going to be the difference?
All right. The answer is yes, and they're also going to be better stopping the run. I've got a couple of names for you which are going to make the biggest difference in the world. Number one is the number one draft choice overall, Danny Shelton. Guys, he is the prototype nose tackle in a 3-4, but he's better than the prototype nose tackle. Number one, I was always taught, the great Chris Spielman taught me this, that you could show a drive-in movie on the backside of a nose tackle, you know he's wide enough. Okay, that's number one. But number two, this is the kind of young man who's not just going to be cannon fodder, guys, and occupy a center and a guard, or a center guard and a fullback coming through to try to wham him. This is the kind of guy that will get a push on the pocket, which means they're going to have to pay extra attention to him. But are you ready for this? Now, this man is 6'3". They're telling me 339. I got to tell you something. He's a chocolate chip cookie away from 350, a donut away from 360. He dropped back in a zone blitz. And I don't like to get too technical for the listeners, but again, all that means is he was in his three-point stance, jumped up and backpedaled. Somebody took his spot. He ran down a wide receiver on a pass to the sideline and leveled him. The guy had no idea. So he's number one. So by occupying more people, getting a push on the pocket, could get the quarterback a little antsy. Number two, you saw the great year that Paul Kruger had last year. Now they've got Nate Orchard from Utah, who's quickly exhibiting that he can get to the quarterback. They have another gentleman by the name of Scott Solomon, and these things go hand in hand, that they've got a great defensive back. I rank them only behind Seattle. Somebody has them behind Seattle and the Jets. But a great defensive backfield that can give that pass rusher an extra half second or an extra second by locking somebody down to get to the quarterback. Those are your differences, my friends.
Munch Bishop joins us from ESPN 850, a preview in the Browns. I agree. I think their defense is pretty solid, but their offense, of course, there's lots of questions. We can assume, I think it's safe to say that McCown's going to start at quarterback. Who's going to be their starting running back? And are you hearing any rumblings? I read today some people thinking the Browns might be looking at Ray Rice.
Okay, number one, right now the Crow, Isaiah Crowell, is your starting running back. Regardless, I don't know, because every other running back is hurt. Everyone. And Wilbert Montgomery, the running back coach, said, you know, again, that's a ponderous situation. Plus, Isaiah hasn't acted like I'm the only one getting big reps, so I should get the ball more often. They had hot hopes. The young man from Miami U, the U, Duke Johnson. And guys, look at all the great running backs that have come out of the U. Think about this. And it struck me because I didn't realize it. Duke Johnson is the leading ground gainer in the history of the Hurricanes. Now, he's also a guy that can catch a pass out of the backfield. Crowell and West, even though they rushed for more than 1,000 combined last year, they can't catch a pass. Quarterback looking for him in a safety valve is nowhere to be found. So right now it's Isaiah Crowell by attrition. One thing to note about Ray Rice, Jimmy Haslam, when he first came to town, everybody thought he was the knight in shining armor to rescue this franchise. You know, from Al Lerner's son, Randy, who was a soccer fan, and the only reason he had the team is because his dad passed away. But here's the thing. Jimmy Haslam, because of his pilot flying J problems, because of some other horrific PR moves, you know, hiring Joe Banner as a president who just thought he was a football analyst, and he was not. Hiring Mike Lombardi, one of the most hated men in Cleveland, for players he jettisoned for backstabbing from years ago. Now, here is the thing. Right now, I know for a fact that the Browns talked about Ray Rice. They talked about him, and not so much can he still play. If he's that 3.1-yard a guy carry, well, 3 times 3.1 does not get us the first down. But something else they talked about would be fan backlash. A lot of fan backlash against this team and owner. You know, people are telling me that few scoreboards are in the shape of the state of Tennessee or Jimmy's drum. I don't really think they are, but everybody looks for something. I've even said to PR guys, Jimmy will come to meetings. There's a difference. You guys know the difference from your favorite team. He'll wear a Tennessee Volunteer orange color tie. Well, it's not the Browns orange. People notice that. It's like, we know he's trying, but it's not right. So right now, to me, the biggest thing is that they're looking at, do we have another PR disaster? Why a PR disaster, guys? I understand Ray has been contrite. I understand he apologized. I'm not alive. Still, the video alone makes me think this man treated a human being worse than most of us, all of us, would treat an animal, an animal. So here's my thoughts on it, is that most fans are in concurrence with me that playing football is not a right. You're being rehabilitated, saying you're contrite, being a part of society is a right. Playing football is a privilege. I don't want that privilege exercised on him, on my team.
Huh. Well, well said. I think there's probably a lot of people who'd agree with you on that front. The game is kind of dwarfed by the off-field actions. Mm-hmm. Overall, and there's a lot to fix, a little bit here, a little bit there with this Cleveland team. What's a reasonable expectation in your mind when you look at the personnel, when you look at the questions? They're coming off 7-9. There's a long way to go. Are we going to see an improvement, and how much of one, when we look at the standings?
Well, number one, most people I talk to, because...
Oh, no, Munch, what happened? Munch was killing it, by the way, today.
He
might be our best NFL analyst we've had so far this year. He was rushing it. But unfortunately, phone died out. But the Browns, as he said, not a believer that Manziel's a change guy yet.
Without doubt,
prior at the receiver position. Obviously, lots of questions at the running back. Not a fan of Ray Rice. I agree. The Browns' defense is good. The problem is they're going to get worn down because they're going to be on the field too much.
They don't score enough.
Yeah, the Browns' offense. Unless McCowan's just going to play out of his mind. But you look at the receiver position, you know, Brian Hartline, Dwayne Bowe, like those guys are they're well past their best before date.
They're number three receivers in a really good offense.
Yeah, at best.
Yeah.
You know, at best they are. So Terrell Pryor, just on sheer athleticism, might be able to do it. When you're 6'4", 223, and you've got that much ability, maybe. But running back, some questions for all you fantasy football fans. Crowell looks like he's the guy. Of course, Munch is back with us. Now, we appreciate it, you sticking through. Quickly, when you look at the Browns' overall offense, is their O-line good enough to give time to McCown that I think he's likely going to need? Because I don't see the receivers having any great separation skills.
You know what? The line is that good. Now, you know, Joe Thomas got banged up on Tuesday, actually on Monday, and we were all horrified because Danny Shelton, 300 whatever pounds, rolled up the back of his leg. Joe is fine. I do not play him Thursday. That's tomorrow against the Redskins. However, by not playing him, I make sure the quarterback rolls to his right a lot because I don't see my quarterback kill. But tell you what, the line is phenomenal. The line is stellar. Thomas with the young second-year man, Batonio, Alex Mack. Guys, one of the reasons the Browns went south last year was Alex Mack getting hurt. They did not have any competent replacements. Petco will be at right guard, Mr. Schwartz. And remember who the second draft choice was this year in the first round, a lineman for Florida State by the name of Cam Irving, who is going to be a name to be reckoned with. Yeah, the line is that good for run blocking. The line is that good for the quarterback. But there's only so long you can hold the opposition at bay. The Browns going to have to make some decisions sooner than later to throw the ball.
Mark, just jump back to what I was asking you before your phone kicked out. Realistically speaking, when you look at the personnel changes, improvements, and question marks coming off 7-9, what's the reasonable expectation this year?
The reasonable expectation, and guys, just breaks my heart, because I don't even like saying 8-8, because to me that's mediocrity. I don't live my life. I wasn't brought up that way to live my life mediocrity. To me, a reasonable, record, even though I won't like it, would be 7-9 again, even 6-10, even with the improved defense, because they're not a single playmaker on offense. I've talked to some of the quote-unquote pundits. They've got them as low as 4-12, 3-13. I do believe they're going to be better than that. Be nice to see them leapfrog 8-8, 9-7. But I would think a 7-9 like last year would be something in the realm of possibility.
Munch, we'll have to have you on throughout the year. We appreciate it, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, gentlemen. I know how to find you, too. I will reciprocate.
You betcha.